The next presentation was by Dr. Swanson and addressed the question of postoperative radiation therapy for men at high risk for local recurrence.
When we talk about pathological T3 prostate cancer, historically it's been reported that up to 50% of the patients at radical prostatectomy have findings, which include extracapsular extension, a positive margin, or positive seminal vesicles. Historically, these patients also have been associated with greater risk of disease recurrence, especially when you compare them to patients with cancer confined to the gland at surgery, or PT2s. There's a PSA failure as high as 2/3 or 67% at 5 years. Due to various definitions of endpoints and patient selection, outcomes in patients in the past have been extremely variable and raised some questions about what we should do about it. So what's the optimal management for pathological T3 disease? Historically, we as radiation oncologists have always advocated radiotherapy. Other options have been watchful waiting until there's a PSA recurrence in the more current era, once PSA became available. Currently, these patients are also eligible for an adjuvant study, the Southwest Oncology Group study 9921, where these patients all get 2 years of hormonal therapy and half of them get chemotherapy with myozantrone, and radiation is allowed. So there are different options with these patients. The impact of radiotherapy in the past has been unclear. Like all retrospective data in the different treatment series, there's different selection biases and ascertainment biases. Obviously, the only optimal way to look at this would be a randomized clinical trial. The Southwest Oncology Group study, 8794, was first conceived in the mid-1980s, and the study was activated in 1988. The eligibility criteria were patients that had a radical prostatectomy and had one of three things: positive margins, extracapsular extension, or seminal vesicle involvement, or any of the above. They had to have negative pelvic lymph nodes. There is no requirement for a negative PSA. When this study was first opened, PSA was just becoming widely available and was not required. Later, it was required to be collected. So these patients weren't required to have a negative PSA at the time the radiation started. 431 patients were enrolled with pathological T3 disease. They had negative bone scans. The radiation consisted of 60 to 64 gray. That's a little low by today's standards. Follow-up was designated at being every 3 months for a year, then every 6 months for 2 years, and then annually patients were to be followed until death. And there were about 9.7 years of follow-up. 425 eligible patients. The median age was around 65 years. Most patients were eligible based on either extracapsular extension or a positive margin. About 5% had positive seminal vesicles only, and about 10% had positive margins through the capsule or positive seminal vesicles. About a third had a Gleason 7, and about 15% had a Gleason 8 to 10. PSA diagnosis, about half were less than 10, about half were more than 10. PSA at the start of radiation, about half were undetectable, and about half had a detectable PSA at the start of radiation. This is the biochemical relapse-free survival. In the radiation group, it was 60%. At 5 years versus 38% in the observation group. At 10 years, it's 49 and 23%, so that 25% difference in biochemical control has been maintained. The median time to failure was 9 years in the radiation arm and 2.3 years in the observation arm, and that was significant. Relapse-free survival, and this is detectable relapse, clinical, as in bone metastasis or palpable recurrence, was also statistically significant. Metastatic-free survival favored radiation, but that was not statistically significant. I would point out, though, that the median time to failure is about a year longer in the radiation group. And then the overall survival, as we would imagine, at 5 years was also not statistically significant. But it did add a median of a year to survival by receiving radiation up front. About a third of the patients in the observation arm subsequently got radiation. If you look at time until the groups had to receive hormonal therapy for salvage, at 5 years, only 9% of the radiation group received hormonal therapy, but 20% of the observation group. So that is statistically significant. As far as toxicity, they looked at several factors. One is GI toxicity. At 6 weeks, where people are in the middle of their radiation, there is a big difference. At 2 years, there is still a difference, but 5 years, there is no statistical significance in complaints of bowel problems in these group of patients. GU toxicity, similar observations. Baseline was roughly the same. At 6 weeks, the radiation patients, of course, were doing a lot worse. They're in the middle of their radiation. At 2 years, they had greatly improved, And at 5 years, there was no statistically significantly different outcome as far as quality of life. Erectile dysfunction, of course, these patients all had radical prostatectomies, so they're not starting out so hot to begin with, and this was kind of at the cusp of the nerve-sparing era. So it's not surprising both groups did poorly. An observation that others have made is that the surgery group actually improved a little bit, but overall, through the life of the follow-up, there is no statistical significance between the two groups. The rate of events is actually less than predicted. That's part of the reason it took so long for the study to actually be reported. We expect a lot more metastatic disease than we saw. But with adjuvant radiation therapy for T3 disease, without radiation, the risk is very high. At 5 years, it was 62%. At 10 years, 77% had progression if they didn't get radiation. For non-PSA relapse, this is clinical relapse, 31% at 5 years. In 10 years, half the patients in the observation arm had a detectable relapse. And then metastasis, by 10 years, fully a third of them had died of metastatic disease. They had lived that long. So take-home message, everybody that has pathological T3 disease should have this information. The decision is ultimately the patient's. There's still some degree of uncertainty about exactly who would benefit. For a man who's very concerned about controlling his cancer at all costs, then radiation therapy certainly is reasonable. There are significant side effects if you wait with a PSA recurrence. If nothing else, psychological, it's very hard to patients to deal with that, and so you can kind of avoid that. And then there's trade-offs. There are side effects to the treatment. For the man who's risk adverse, the observation is not unreasonable, because there is no survival benefit, higher risk of PSA and local recurrence. Current evidence suggests that some can be salvaged early with radiotherapy, so maybe we can wait. Do we need a trial to look at that? Of course. In the future, we just need to get better at predicting who has a risk of local failure versus systemic failure. Then we can target therapy more intelligently.